Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. 50 minutes every afternoon. And apparently this is breaking news because it just came across my Twitter feed, popular in my network, apparently. It says Sean Diddy Combs is tweeting that he is raffling off tickets to the Bad Boy Family Reunion Tour. So get a chance to win #TWCTV. So I know that's exciting. And somehow it must be exciting to me because it decided to pop up and then give me that information. Little did I know that I so badly wanted to know what Sean Diddy Combs is doing with the Bad Boy Reunion Tour. But good to know that. Got that now. Hey, Lori Desitelis is going to be joining us this afternoon. We talk once a month, Revelations in Education, her website, that's at my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. So find out more by looking through her information at her website there. You can find it at the Facebook page. Later on in the show, also we'll talk about why at least one Harvard professor is saying that conservative Christians should be treated like Nazis. That's what he has to say. We'll get into all of that and more this afternoon. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Lori Desitelis joins us once a month. She is with Revelations in Education. And Lori, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Leo. Thank you. How are you?
Good. You want to talk about this. And to me, you know, I know what's coming, but it's almost weird when we say it like summertime and like being out of school and out of the routines and all of that. I think My son said today that he had, I can't remember, what did he say? 12 or 15 more days. He's got to count. He's counting down, of course, right? So
yes,
he knows exactly how many days are left before summer. He's ready. But my goodness, it's here.
It is here. And it brings a whole different dynamic, I think, to family systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling it too, even with adult children, you know, coming home and just everyone's got to readjust. You know, we really are creatures of habit. And we adhere to our, you know, habits of structure and boundaries, and we need that. But summertime is, you know, it's not always the lackadaisical days of summer. I mean, either there are a lot of extracurricular and so it's very different in this time too. So I thought maybe we might focus on some things we could do, not only for teachers but for families.
Sure.
You know, for a few minutes this afternoon.
Absolutely. So what do you recommend?
Yeah. So I was thinking, I wrote this article a year ago for Edutopia, and I wanted to add to it today because I was discovering some brand new research to me over the weekend. And I want to emphasize this, that any of us that have children between the ages of 7 and 8 years old up to 25 years old, I want to emphasize, first of all, that the most important, the most significant people in that young adult's age group is their peer group. And that salient peer group, it has the most influence. And so as parents in these, you know, summertime, you know, days where, you know, maybe we all are still working and our children are home, we just need to be very awake and aware to how significant that social connection to that peer group is. And I think just being aware of that and understanding the impact of our peers is the first thing I wanted to emphasize today.
Okay.
And along those lines, you know, really taking these days towards the end of school and just asking and actually kind of pre-planning what the expectations are for the summer. You know, what are, you know, in some questions that we might ask our children, you know, what would you like to do in your downtime this summer? You know, what are maybe two, and I'm not necessarily talking about vacations or trips, but, you know, maybe two things that you've been thinking about, maybe two activities, two experiences you would like, you know, to see happen this summer. And also including peers in our home, you know, inviting, again, it's, we're not so popular as parents during these years. You know, our popularity lessens, but, you know, again, asking, you know, what can, you know, what can I do, you know, as your mom, as your dad, what can I do to really, make this a memorable, or from the movie Inside Out, let's create some core memories this summer. And what would you like? And be kind of thinking about that. So I think kind of pre-planning and kind of thinking about that is very, very important. Second, with not having a schedule and a routine, many of us just are what I call kind of off our paths. You know, we just, we're not sure with that unstructure how to manage days because we're all so busy. And so I think it's really important for a family system to set up some guidelines, some agreements for the summer. And, you know, and maybe those are in the form of roles and responsibilities. They might be in the form of expectations. And I think that it's really important to address those as far as, I need you. I need your help this summer. You know, a parent talking to a child, not this is what you're going to do, but I really need you this summer. I would really love your input in how to clean out this garage. I really would love your input into how we can, you know, take a trip and there's less arguing in the back seat of the car. You know, what are your ideas? So I think, again, these, and again, I'm mentioning the power of questions because questions actually open up the part of the brain that is activated when we feel valued and empowered. And so I think I wanted to emphasize that, you know, again, this afternoon, just really thinking about how we can incorporate cooperation and collaboration, but also kind of pre-plan what everybody's expectations are for the summer to begin with.
Lori Desitos with us this afternoon, Revelations in Education. Lori, I love that you say, you use the word agreement earlier. I think you said, I don't know, you may have said expectations to begin with, but then you said agreements. And so, because that does say we're all getting included here, right? And we're
absolutely,
our opinions matter. And, you know, this is not authoritarian parenting. We're a family unit and we're going to get together and we're going to value each other. And, you know, I know that some don't subscribe to that. And it's got to be the parents lay down the law and darn well, the kids better fall into place. And if they don't, too bad. But there's something beautiful about expressing this appreciation for the opinion of your kids. And, you know, the one thing that John C. Maxwell talks about leadership, right? And he says leadership is influence. And he talks about not only that influence being you influencing someone, but showing that you can be influenced. And that's where leadership really takes root and really takes the opportunity to fly is when we show that, hey, but it's this appreciation of that opportunity that turns into this influence. It's not manipulation. It's not being walked on. And I think far too few people realize the power of that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's really in helping what we're doing, these questions that I'm suggesting right now and this pre-planning and creating a family agreement, really what that's doing, it's modeling for your children, for your family, some of the behaviors and some of the language, the kind of the lexicon of what you would like to see from them. Because again, the power, you know, modeling is such a powerful strategy when it comes to do as I do, not as I say. And this is something I'm working on, Leo, all the time. I mean, I have young adult children and I get triggered. And, you know, I don't want to be that mom that's saying, you know, did you, you know, the basement's a mess. You know, no one's doing any laundry. It's all me. I have a job too this summer. And so I'm trying to walk the walk, because this is, you know, we teach what we need to learn. So I think inviting that cooperation and just asking for what you need and pre-planning and creating that agreement if you need to is you know, extremely important. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And do I have time to go over one more before break?
I think we do. Yeah.
Okay. So the second, we can talk about this after break, but sometimes school is a place for many of us where we don't find much success or purpose. I just read an article the other day that on the average between kindergarten and 12th grade, and the average student takes over 112 standardized tests. Yeah. And so we are filling in bubbles and we are learning to memorize and we're learning to perform up to a certain expectation. But in school right now, and again, I'm generalizing, I'm not saying every school, but in many schools right now, we are not, we're not addressing the individual strengths and passions and interests of our children. And so I think summertime or even these few weeks off, because some schools don't even have a full, I mean, we never have 12 weeks off. We have 10 at the most and maybe six.
Right.
But I think it's really important to hone in on the strength of your child. And they may not even know what that is, but summertime is a really good time to invite them to take, you know, a look and maybe brainstorm, you know, something that a hobby they could begin, an activity, even a small business. I think we've talked about this before. You know, just a small summer job where they're getting used to serving one another, managing a little bit of money. I think I shared once my son and his friend in high school wanted to detail cars. And I said to Andrew, you know, everyone's detailing cars and everyone pays $95 to $100 to get their car detailed. But what is going to differentiate you? You know, you really are passionate about this, but what can you do to, you know, to really promote this in a way that's different from everybody else? And they decided to donate. They would donate 10% of the price of the detailing to that client's favorite organization. Mm. So, I mean, they're just, you know, just it's a time to kind of just brainstorm and innovate and be creative.
Oh, yeah. Well, all good suggestions. Again, Lori Desitel is with us this afternoon, Revelations in Education. Her website is linked to my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. You can find it there. And got about a minute left here. So, Lori, I think that, again, the idea of sitting down and really sharing this time, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges is finding the time to do that. Right?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard.
It all sounds like the greatest idea in the world if we can just find time to do this. And I would say with adult children, it's got to be even tougher. I know how tough it is with an 8 and 3 year old just to get everybody around the table settled down and having a conversation. That could be very difficult. But we'll talk more on the other side of the break. Lori Desitel is with us this afternoon. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture Current Defense Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Lori Desitel joins us once a month. Lori, welcome back.
Thank you, Leo.
completing this idea of feeling felt that you talk about all the time through the summer is what we're talking mm-hmm. about today, and really kind of finding ways to connect with your kids and bring them into a degree of inclusion when it comes to family decisions. And, you know, I think if that's all you do, not that you shouldn't complete the projects, you should try to mm-hmm. make every effort, but just beginning with that premise, I think is going to probably set the tone for a much better summer experience, because you do have this agreement, as you mentioned in the first segment.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And we ended the last segment with, you know, how do you find the time, you know, to do this? And one of the things that, and again, I'm trying everything we're talking about today, Leo, I'm working on. So I believe me, and I want the listeners to know, I am not an expert. I'm struggling with this with all three of my children home this summer. But one of the things that I think I am learning is that, just as, you know, we don't say we don't have time to brush our teeth, you know, we don't have time to, you know, flip through our phones in the morning or read the paper. I mean, we make times, we prioritize. And I think one of the things that we can do is just to, again, part of that pre-planning is to set aside, and it doesn't have to be quantity. It could be 10 minutes of checking in with one another, of, you know, just maybe one, you know, small, you know, time together. And again, maybe it's not every day, maybe it's three times a week, something realistic that, you know, as a family, we can, you know, that's doable for us, you know, in these summer months, mm-hmm. because they go quickly, and they are not those, as we said before, these summer months are filled with activities. And it can be stressful without that structure. So I wanted to address that too. And I wanted to share, you've heard me talk before about, and I really want to gear this towards all of us, that I've said we want our teachers to be dopamine makers. And dopamine is that neurohormone that our bodies secrete when we are feeling pleasure, when we are feeling felt, as you just stated, mm-hmm. and we're moving towards a goal-directed behavior. But over the weekend, Leo, I discovered just so many more facets of what dopamine affects, and I'm so excited to share these this afternoon. And I want parents to understand that when we are helping our own children to have positive emotion, you know, to feel socially connected, to feel emotionally connected, to tap into their strengths, to look at ways to, you know, really build their interests. Those are things that really increase that neurohormone dopamine in the brain. And when that dopamine neurohormone is secreted, it really helps to create these neural connections in the brain that become wired together. And what I'm basically saying is we're forming new habits that feel good. And so dopamine actually enhances our motor coordination. This is new research. So, you know, when we are doing any type of gross or fine motor activity, you know, whether it's taking a family bike ride, you know, taking a walk together, you know, out there, I mean, there are many, many benefits to, you know, playing kickball or, you know, to just getting out and moving around. You know, it really strengthens motor coordination. And this is just, this is amazing. It also helps in our ability to be mentally flexible. So when we really are feeling positive emotion, we are better at moving back and forth from different, you know, transitioning into different activities or experiences, which is hard for a lot of people.
Yeah, sure.
And it also enhances our ability to think outside the box, you know, to be creative. And it also helps us to have a much more fluid perception of our surroundings. We are all on automatic pilot most of the time, most of our days.
Right.
We do. And we don't really stop and think about where, you know, what am I doing? And especially children, if we can give them these tools, you know, I used to say Reagan, my youngest daughter, was so happy just to sit with a rock and two blades of grass. And some of us come into this life and we are content and we are more intros, you know, just introspective.
Mm-hmm.
Introspective. But many of us, that's hard for us. And so I just wanted to share with parents and with teachers this afternoon that there are, you know, when we can just increase positive emotions by asking the questions and tapping into some interests and some, you know, some expertise and some areas that really help us to think outside the box, we're really changing neural circuitry in the brain. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And this neuroplasticity that you're talking about, you can actually rewire your brain. That's what's beautiful about it, is that it's not that the brain just constantly dies and it's just aging and decaying.
Right.
We can re-stimulate these synapses and create new opportunities just from simple things like activity. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And we know that, you know, when we talk about neuroplasticity, it's not rewiring a personality. It's literally rewiring a perspective, or it's rewiring a behavior. You know, it's putting on a different lens. And I'll send this, Leo, to you to share. It's an article that I wrote for Edutopia a year ago, but I think we talked about this. But some of the activities in the last couple minutes, I wanted to share having an all about me day. And I think we talked about this a year ago, but nothing is more critical to our well-being than feeling valued and loved and heard. Mm-hmm. And so as a family, you could designate a day for one another, choosing and planning a child or your, you know, adolescent's favorite things. Mm-hmm. And it might just be an hour, might not be a whole day, but it's, you know, it's a way to show appreciation and to really, you know, tap into, you know, what you're saying when you plan a child's me day is you're saying, you know what? I hear you. I know you and I'm here for you. So creating a folder, inviting a surprise visitor, planning an outing, planning a special meal, their favorite meal. That's a great activity to really, you know, help create that dopamine secretion. And then for neuroplasticity, do an upside down and backwards day. Because you could, on this day, everything changes. Your meals, how you do things, the timing, the setting, everything. So have a snow cone and a vitamin for breakfast. Pack up your lunch and take it to an unusual area where you would never eat lunch. Decorate chairs and a table for dinner. Create invitations. Just dress up for dinner in a weird costume. make up your own dinner language. Everybody can talk, but no one can say a word that has the letter E in it.
Okay.
Those are ways that you can really, really change it up. We're going to do that. I'm taking the girls and I are going to yoga after this radio show, and then we're going to have dinner, and I'm going to do a couple of these activities with them at dinner tonight.
Wow. And you got adult children. They're college age.
Yes. Well, yeah. One college and one high school.
Okay.
So, yeah. Wow. So that's, we're going to do that tonight. They don't know that yet, but I just, that's what we're going to do.
You're going to spring it on them.
We're going to spring it on them. So just creating, you know, those activities, you know, actually just, you know, coming downstairs, and there's nothing more. The brain loves anticipation. So even just taking a hand towel and covering up an object when everyone wakes up in the morning and putting this really silly object and covering it with a towel or a cloth on the kitchen table. And it could be anything out of a junk drawer. And everybody gets three or four guesses. And then, you know, you incentivize and you could tie it into what you're going to do for the day, or it can just be, you know, 10 guesses as to what this is. Those are ways to really create and pique curiosity and novelty. And again, just help us to think outside the box.
Yeah. And get you off the routine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so important to get off the routine.
Yeah.
The more I read about it, we've got to start doing things that really change it up, because we literally grow neural circuitry in areas that become very stagnant and very important.
And I think this is true. I mean, I know that, you know, am I saying the right? Kinesis, kinesthetics, right? I mean, the movement, right? Movement.
Yes.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, that kinesthesiology.
Yes. That stimulates, and we talked a little bit about this, is what it can do in the brain function as well. But unfortunately, this is what we do. We lock into routines and we lock into movement, and we never move beyond even that. You were talking about yoga a second ago, and the fact that, you know, you can move in ways that really do stretch you, literally stretch your body into different movements, different ways of moving. And we don't normally do that. We don't do that well. We don't change our routines. We don't change our movements. We don't do things that could potentially stimulate new opportunity, new growth. But it's so vitally important. We think it may be, you know, the hip bone's connected to the head bone, right? I mean,
it's all
connected, and we got to move as well, because this is what's going to stimulate our minds.
It is, and we're absolutely, and we are all or nothing. So when we talk about movement, you know, we don't have to go out and make a huge exercise plan. You know, we don't have to do this 90 minutes a day. It is, you know, we can change it up for, you know, 10 minutes, mm-hmm. You know, just 10 minutes, 5 minutes. There are so many great apps on phones now that have these 2 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute, really
one
great
minute.
Workouts.
One minute of intense 20 second sprints have been proven to be as beneficial as 45 minutes on the treadmill.
Yeah, there's one called Swerk It, and it's just great. I mean, I literally keep it on my phone, and when I'm too busy, I'm doing that, you know, like 5 minutes a day.
No.
So it's really important, but the brain benefits are huge, and it not only changes neural circuitry, Leo, but it releases these very, very important neurohormones that are, you know, linked to well-being.
Lori Desitel is with us. We're out of time. Check out her stuff over at Revelations in Education at my Facebook page. You can find it there. Lori, God bless you. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Leo.
All right. Bye. More to come. We'll be back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. May crowning at my oldest son's school today. So a handsome guy over on my Facebook page. You can see him, Zach Brown, who loves to get dressed up. I didn't know this until this morning. He expressed this as he was putting on his coat and tie. So maybe we could lobby for a uniform upgrade. That would go over well, right? I'm going to be attending a school council meeting tonight, so I'll make that suggestion. Coats and ties every day. How's that sound? Yeah, I'll be a popular parent. So this is where we are. Not that we didn't know that we were at this level. And, you know, I think you've heard me express this. I believe this completely. I think that as a Catholic, if in a given day, hour, minute, even perhaps, you cannot be accused of both extreme conservatism and ridiculous liberalism, then you really aren't Catholic. You're not embracing that full spectrum, because there is no political partisanship that matches what we believe as Catholics. There's just not. So I have chosen to be an independent because of that, because I take my faith that seriously. Now, I know that's apparently not for everyone. I know that people stand behind their partisan politics and want to claim a particular ilk of party loyalty, but I to me, that's a detriment to your faith. That is, it's not an authentic witness. Maybe it is. Maybe it is an authentic witness for you. Maybe that's where you are. But if it is, there's more to embrace that you probably haven't. And I would challenge anyone who can't embrace the things that look left if you're right and the things that look right if you're left, because they're there. I assure you, they are there. That's the reason why I'm an independent. But this interesting, I think it's a blog post here that is a Harvard professor, essentially, Harvard law professor, says that the Daily Signal is where I saw this popped up on my Twitter feed. Ryan T. Anderson is writing, says, Harvard law professor says, treat conservative Christians like Nazis. Liberals need to stop being so defensive, it says. That's a message of law professor Mark Tushnet, New Post, abandoning defensive couch liberal constitutionalism. So essentially what he's saying is that we're in a time and place now. And it talks about the makeup of the Supreme Court, which is hilarious, quite frankly, because there are conservative appointed justices and liberal appointed justices, and you never know which way they're going to rule. You don't know this. You have no idea. We've been surprised many times. And this is part of the great mystery that is decisions handed down from the Supreme Court. How we end up with some of the things that come from the Supreme Court, it's a mystery. It can only be explained as such, because I don't understand it, certainly not. But essentially, this individual is saying these extremists may as well be Nazis and realize that the liberals have the upper hand anyway. They're ruling the court. Scalia's dead. Anything goes. Stand up and go ahead and face these monsters for who they are. Which, again, when we take a stance as Catholics on issues such as abortion, we are going to be viewed as this type of individual. We're going to be viewed as an extremist. We're going to be viewed as a domestic terrorist. All of these things that could be leveled against us, levied against us, I should say, forgive me. And this is how we are perceived. But at the same time, if you show up the next week at the immigration rally and you are all in favor of supporting some sort of immigration reform that would allow for humane treatment and for dignity of each individual, regardless of where they come from, and you show up there, well, you know what? There will be those who will say, look at that crazy liberal. I can't believe he's at this event. Now, granted, you probably won't see the same people at that immigration rally that you saw at the pro-life rally. Probably, if you go to both of them, you'll probably be the only one, right? And I've experienced this. I've been the only one that I see at two differing expressions of our democracy that I consider faith issues. I've been that guy. I see a group of people over here. Oh, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Yes, of course I'm your friend. I see a group of people over here. Oh, hey, of course I'm your friend. But I don't see the same groups or even maybe the same one other individual. I just don't, right? I'm there. I'm at the crazy left-leaning liberal thing that people would label as such, and at the crazy right-leaning conservative thing that people would label as such. Am I a Nazi? No, I'm a Catholic. And these are important issues. Because, as I've said many times, if you boil this down and you weigh it for what it is, and I really don't know why we don't do this, but I don't see it happening. And it seems like, well, this is my pet sort of expression because it's politically expedient, maybe, or it agrees with the way I vote, or it matches my hairstyle. I don't know. What is it? Right? Because we boil these things down and think, well, I'm going to put my eggs over here in the pro-life basket, or I'm going to put my eggs over here in the, and just to simplify, the pro-immigration basket, right? Just to show a couple of dichotomies, political dichotomies. And that's where we kind of land and stay. And to my friends in both of these camps, I would say, why are you not sharing this across these, from both Why did we not see the same group? If you're active, if you're politically and faithfully active, which I know many people are, then why limit it? Why limit it there? Because the same core issue is the reason why we're doing both things. But I don't somehow think that those are connected yet. The same core issue is human dignity, right? We go and we serve at the homeless shelter, or we go and we serve at the Faith and Community Christmas store, or we go and pray at the abortuary. We do this for the same reason. We go and protest the death penalty. We go and stand for immigrants and refugees. We do this for the same core reason. And that reason is human dignity. That reason is human creation, is incarnational in nature, right? It is sacred. There is an expression of the incarnation in every human being. And the privilege of co-creation with our Creator does not end at birth. And I know that that's not a popular statement to make. It begins at conception. Absolutely. Yes. I will stand firmly and 100% upon that, as we should as Catholics. But it doesn't end at conception. As many of my pro-life friends would say, they would agree with me there. Continues through all 9 months. Well, I'd say it continues through all 90 years, God willing. Whatever we have on this earth. And it continues for not only those within our borders legally, it continues for those within our borders illegally. It continues for those who have been exiled from their homeland and need someplace else to go. It continues for the innocent and those proven guilty. It continues for all, because human dignity is the absolute peak of human existence, and the reason why we're pro-life, and the reason why that pro-life should be consistent. This is not a popular position, although I think it's gaining steam. I have to say that I do believe that there are Catholics waking up. And one thing I would say is, follow Mark Shea on Facebook if you don't believe me. I'm seeing a movement, and that's beautiful, because it's people taking their faith very seriously, and they're waking up and they're realizing, well, you know what? We've kind of been brainwashed for a lot of years. We kind of been taught that we fit into one of two camps. And either we're over here and we're conservative, or over there and we're liberal, and never the twain does meet. But I'm telling you, Catholicism is where it meets. It looks like both of those extremes and everything in the middle. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless you.